Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center today, live on an historic day in the United States. We'll talk about that in a moment. As we focus on God's intention for marriage and to be very positive in terms of how to make your marriage work. This is a very pro-positive message for marriage today. Are you ready? This is the Intentional Living Center, and I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and we're live here in the studio today. Hot day in Arizona, by the way. Over another 100 degrees. I heard yesterday here in Tucson, it's been 11 days over 105. So we're trying to stay cool. Today, we were going to be talking about your work and when you don't enjoy what you do and you hate your job and how do you deal with that. We had the program all set and ready to go. And last minute, I said, hey, we're going to change the direction. Most of you probably heard by now the ruling that came from the Supreme Court concerning same-sex marriage. And so let me begin by saying, no matter your opinion on same-sex marriage, if you're in the majority of Americans that, from statistics, now support a same-sex marriage, or if you've been one of the minority Americans that believe that the traditional value and definition of marriage between two people of opposite sex should continue, no matter where your position is, a matter of law has been settled. And I think that's important to highlight, that today the ruling came down from the Supreme Court on a split vote of 5-4, which is interesting because that's almost statistically how the American population are split on this topic as well. But in a vote of 5-4, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that same-sex couples may now marry in all 50 states, striking down the bans of states who had attempted to do so. And I thought about and prayed about coming into the studio today. I think if you've listened to Intentional Living long enough, you know that our passion is about taking what God's Word teaches and, as followers of Christ, living that out. And this program has never been intended to jump into political correctness or political issues. That's not our focus. Our focus, our mission is very clear: to help us as followers of Jesus Christ to know what the Word of God says and stay focused on it. And I think that that is really the key. I think as this unfolds, that those of us who are followers of Christ, we need to know what we believe, why we believe it, and not succumb to the, the attitudes or the opinions of the culture in which we live, which interestingly on this topic has changed from 5,000 years of sort of recorded history. And so as I was driving into the studio this morning, I was thinking, now what? How do we respond? And I know that we got good people today and you're listening, and I told the staff before we came on, we got some of you who are on one side of this issue and others on another side of this issue, and some of you threw up your hands and said, I don't really care all that much. It doesn't affect me. And today, I really want to focus on marriage. I want to focus on the importance and value of making our marriage work, God's intention for marriage, and how to respond, now what? And I'm going to be referencing some thoughts from a friend of Intentional Living, Ed Stetzer, who is the president of Lifeway Research, Southern Baptist Research. He wrote a blog that really addresses that. Now what? What do we do? How do you respond to this? And I think that's an important consideration. We're going to get to that in a moment. But I told the staff, let's get ready with a lot of testimonies here of people who just talk about their marriage and what God is doing in their marriage. And I'll share some more thoughts, and we'll give you some really practical things about your marriage today as well. So you ready? This is Intentional Living. I'm Randy Carlson.
Dr. Carlson, my name is James. My wife and I, newlyweds of the last 2.5 months, we are living our lives intentionally for Christ by getting up every morning at 4:30, and sharing in the Word, reading for an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's how we live our lives, and we're living it to the fullest.
The way that I'm living intentionally is by waking up every morning and trying to have a smile on my face, to do one thing nice for my husband before I leave for work, to show him the respect that he so desperately deserves. And that's what I'm doing intentionally every day.
Hi, my name is Rebecca. My husband and I have been married for 30 years. Intentional living is you have to love unconditionally, no matter, because there are days when you're not lovable, and there's days when your husband is not lovable, and we both love each other unconditionally, no matter what.
Amen. Thank you for that. We have more coming. You know, today, the culture in which we're living today and the world in which we're living today, there are many rulings coming down from the courts. There's a shifting, almost a seismic shift that's occurred in my life for sure, and certainly even the last number of years, on some really important issues. And as Christians, as followers of Christ, I think it's important for us to know what we believe and why we believe it. I sent a note to the staff this morning reminding the staff that the message of living intentionally in Christ is needed more now than ever, that we need to stay focused on our mission, and our mission is one of sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to a hurting and dying world. And Ed Stetzer, in his blog on this topic today about same-sex marriage and the ruling of the Supreme Court, says something I totally agree with. He says, regardless of how the Supreme Court rules, and then he lists several topics like same-sex marriage or abortion or immigration or any other issue, Ed goes on to say, God remains sovereign, and his ruling was no surprise to him. God didn't wake up today and go, whoa, you know, I'm surprised. Now what? What do I do? I believe as we look to the future, it's going to become increasing. It's an exciting time in which to live. It really is. It's an exciting time. Troubling, difficult. It's forcing us to know what we believe. It's forcing us, as I told the staff today, to get back into the Word, to know what the Word teaches, know what the Scripture teaches. And I know even today, I know in this audience today, this vast audience all over the country, 200-plus radio stations, not all of you agree with me. And that's perfectly okay. But I hope, if nothing else out of this hour, it forces us to think about what does the Word of God teach on issues that matter about our relationships, about marriage, about parenting, about our finances, about our work. The Bible is not silent on these important issues. And today, I would encourage you, if nothing else, not to wring your hands in fear or to throw a hissy fit, but to really say before God, get on your knees and say, Lord, show me what your word teaches and how I am to live in this culture, where you may now be in the minority when it comes on this topic and many other topics that the world looks at and marginalizes those of faith. Ed Stetzer goes on to share three, very practical things with us about so what? I mean, now what? What do you do? How do you handle that? I want to get to that in just a couple minutes. By the way, you're welcome to always share with us on Facebook. You're welcome to share with us on our storyline, our comment line, 888-888-1717.
My marriage, we struggled and struggled, and I would constantly pray for the Lord to change my husband's heart, and in return, he changed my heart and tendered my heart, and my husband and I have the most amazing marriage. Dr. Randy actually, a long time ago, had a program on where a lady wanted to leave her husband, and he said for 30 days to do things to please him and see how that went. And I did that, and just the Lord is just working amazingly in our life.
Thank you for sharing that. More coming, by the way. I was thinking this morning while I was getting ready to come on into the studio about marriage as a result of, you know, hearing this ruling and feeling like many, that many of you probably feeling the same thing, maybe confused and wondering, now what, where do you go, you know, what? How do you respond to this? And I was thinking about us as Christians, those of us within the church, and if we can just talk as brothers and sisters in Christ a little bit, I think it's fair to say we've done a pretty crummy job of really exemplifying what God's intention is for marriage. I mean, do I have an amen? Do I have a witness? You know, okay. I think we have agreement that we've done a pretty crummy job. In fact, it's, you know, the research study that comes out that shows that First-time marriages, about 40% end in divorce, 50 or 60% of second marriages. But that people who are in the church and really deeply devoted in their faith and they're praying together and they're really followers of Christ, that that falls substantially to what, 20 or 25%? And I heard that. And I was, my first response was, well, that's great. You know, there's less, you know, people who are active in their church and really following Christ have less divorces. But should we be excited about 25% of really followers of Christ, those who are really praying together and living for Christ and acting in their church, ending in divorce? We can do better. And I don't say that as an indictment. I mean, I our conferences, we go out and we talk and we know that we have many people for lots of reasons, some of them biblically justified and some not, who've been through divorce and loss and remarriage and so on. But I think we've got to come back, ladies and gentlemen, if we believe that God is a God of healing, a God of restoration. If you're married today and you're a Christian, I really encourage you to be intentional and staying focused on how to make that marriage work. We need to show the world how a Christian marriage works. And I was just writing, just before the microphone came on, I wrote down 8 things that I believe are essential to making a Christian marriage work. I'm sure there are many more, but these were 8, and I'll get to those in just a couple minutes. And also, I want to get to Ed Stetzer's thoughts of now what? How do you respond after a day like today and the ruling from the Supreme Court? You know, some of you listening are probably applauding. You're supportive of it. Some of you, you know, didn't care all that much. But there are some, those of us who really believe that God has a statement about marriage and how it's to work, or looking to how to respond in a way that will honor Christ. And I like what Ed had to say, and I'll get to that in just a moment. Also want to share these 8 really positive things about making your marriage work.
I think the intentional thing that we do is to bite our tongues when we're adding unnecessary garbage to the conversation. It really helps a lot to be able to not have to be adding on to things.
My wife, I wasn't living as I should, and she showed me God's love every day in everything she did and the way she lived. Her showing me God's love that way totally saved our marriage.
And it has really inspired me to live intentionally in the area of finances. My husband and I are working right now to pay off our debt and at the same time saving money, and it has made a huge difference, primarily in the area of peace in our home.
That's good. We have some more coming your way. We've just selected, we got a whole list of just great stories and testimonies of people about marriage. We'll share some more. Ed Stetzer, who is the, I think he's the president of Lifeway Research and a friend of the ministry and been here on Intentional Living, wrote a blog that he published today. And we'll probably get some excerpts of this or all of this and put it up on our website because he makes some good points. And he talks about, so what? Now, how did we respond to the Supreme Court ruling today, a split decision of the Supreme Court, not unanimous, a split decision, 5-4, on really support of same-sex marriage, and the law is going to be changed. The law has changed as a result of that. So now what? How do you respond? And he makes 3 really practical suggestions. And the first one might seem a little lame, as he puts it, or trite, but it's not. Pray for guidance. Pray for guidance. And he makes this statement. He says, seriously, before you engage in conversations today or in the days ahead about marriage, and you get on social media or in your churches or in your community or, can I say, on the radio, take a portion of time and devote it to prayer. Ask the Lord to reveal the needs of the people around you. Ask him to give you a spirit of compassion amidst the proclamation of the truth. See, as you share what the truth is, as you share Scripture, as you share with people, as Christians, we have a opportunity and a responsibility to do so with great love and compassion. Which really leads to Ed Stetzer's second point. He says on this topic, love your neighbors. And then he quotes a friend of ours, Warren Wiersbe. And Warren was a pastor involved with Moody for many years. He And Warren made the statement. He says, truth without love is brutality, while love without truth is hypocrisy. Boy, isn't that true? It's an interesting statement. And remember, as you are reaching out to your neighbors, talking to your neighbors, no matter what your position is on this, discussions surrounding the definition of marriage carry a lot of emotions. And the research is very clear on this topic that if you know someone who is in a homosexual relationship or a person who's homosexual or supporting this because of their relationships with other people that they know, they're going to be more supportive than those who generally have not been, as well as those who are evangelical Christians are going to be less supportive than those who are not. And so for those of us who believe that God's word speaks to this topic on marriage, it behooves us, it's important for us to understand that this topic is not, it's full, it's loaded with a lot of emotionality. And as Ed Stetzer points out, we need to handle it with care. If we want to be heard, he says, we should communicate in a way worth hearing. So true. And then his third point, I think this is the best one. He says, in response to this today, show and share the love of Jesus. He says, regardless of how cultural issues like this are decided, and no matter what sort of authority Christian values have in culture, we must always be about Jesus' mission. The good news that God sent his son to live a perfect life, to die the death that we deserve to die, and rise again to glory is of first importance and is true regardless of what the courts, the laws, or the culture says. And I think that's a great reminder. It's a great reminder to how we respond today. All right, turning our focus on your marriage and my marriage, and we all know people who are going through difficulties in marriage today. I want to come back to put the searchlight on us for just the remainder of the show here today, because it's important for us in our marriages to live in a way that honors Christ and to show the world how a Christian marriage works. We can do better than we've done in the past. We can do better as a church, as a Christian community. I've got 8 things I want to share with you before we run out of time here, 8 things that I think can be very practically helpful for you and your marriage. We'll get to those in just a moment. More thoughts, feedback from our storyline on marriage.
If you love a good BOGO deal, that's buy one, get one free, then you'll understand why we're so excited about the huge GOMO deal happening right now at the Intentional Living Center. It's your chance to give one and match one with your support this month. Through the generosity of one of our listeners, we're able to match your gift dollar for dollar and double the impact of intentional living, up to $100,000, helping us reach even more people with the message of hope in Christ. So GOMO, give one, match one, when you visit theintentionallife.com to support the Intentional Living Center.
There is no way. One DVD can't change everything. We haven't talked like this since, well, since ever.
Because of one DVD? Pam, really?
Well, we did have to actually put the things we learned into practice. We didn't even know our marriage was being sabotaged. But once we knew what to look for, it was like a snowball effect.
For marriage to be strong, you and your spouse have to be intentional. Dr. Randy Carlson shows you how to communicate more effectively in Has Your Marriage Been Hijacked? Available at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
He sends me a text every morning and say, I love you, have a great day.
My one thing is to ensure that my wife feels loved and secure each and every day, just to know that I'm there to help her.
My one thing is to love my husband like God loves me unconditionally.
My husband works a split shift, and so between shifts, right before he has to go back to work for his second shift of the day, he always gives me a quick call if it's just a quick, I love you and I'll see you tonight. And I love that.
I do, too. That's great. Thank you for sharing. We've got more coming as we focus on making our marriages strong and healthy, vibrant, honoring God, and making it work. Let me share some thoughts. I literally wrote these down as I was sitting here in the studio before we came on. As I mentioned, we were going in a different direction today. We're going to talk about What do you do when you hate your job? And we'll get to that topic in the days ahead. But today we wanted to address marriage. And I wrote down just eight things here, and there, I know there are many others that you would probably add to the list, but eight things that came to my mind that really are essential to making your marriage work. Number one is commitment. When I hear couples continually, you know, kicking the back door open and saying, well, if this doesn't work, I'm out of here, I'm leaving. If you don't change, I'm not going to take it anymore. There's this sense of an escape. Always I'm going to be out of here. And if that becomes a part of your general conversation with each other, even though you may not mean it, it may not even be intended other than to try to wake up your spouse, it's the kind of message that starts to work at the edges of your marriage and the edges of your commitment. So commitment is an important thing. I mean, we need to be committed to things that are worth being committed to. And our marriage is something we stand before God and man to say, I make this commitment. And we need to really keep that as a priority. And I would add very quickly love onto that, because love is, man, you know that's a whole program itself. What does the Bible say? Love is an action. It's not a feeling. I can tell you right now, after you get married, the feelings are going to change. You know, there's not very many people listening who 7 years after you got married and three kids and thousands of diapers and all the other things are at the same place you were on the day you got married. You now are facing the realities of life. And so love is a decision. And 1 Corinthians 13 talks about patience and kindness and long-suffering and caring for each other. Love has got to be an ingredient, a central ingredient in making a marriage work. And I wrote down forgiveness is number three. Expectations minus reality creates disappointment. And what happens at that point, disappointment often leads to disillusionment, discouragement, and defeat. Or it can lead to forgiveness and agreement and rebuilding of the relationship. Number four is agreement. I think it's essential after there's a process of forgiveness and getting to the bottom of issues in marriage that there be agreement. The scripture says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And maybe you're far apart when it comes to issues of parenting and finance and work and so on, and coming to agree on the things you can agree on and really focusing on those areas, you might even have to come to a place where you agree to disagree on some other areas, but not allow those to become points of contention in your relationship. I wrote down problem solving. I think couples that don't know how to solve problems, they get focused not on solutions, but on the problem. And when you become just focusing on the problem, eventually that will wear you out. We all know we got problems. Every marriage has problems. Every relationship has problems. Shared goals is number six. Of course, that's a very intentional living message there. Having a goal. Without a goal, the people cast off restraint. Having goals together. They could be as simple as, you know, where we're going to go on vacation, or what are we, you know, making sure we're going to the same church. How do we want to raise our kids? Shared goals, and I wrote down this one. This one may surprise you. I wrote down humility. I was thinking about that this morning, that humility and selflessness kind of go together, seven and eight. I don't think we can be in a relationship with a person in marriage without an attitude of humility and selflessness, that we're more interested in their needs and meeting their needs than our own. So there's eight, and you guys, you're welcome to add some more on our storyline of things that you believe would make a difference in Christian marriages if we chose to do those. Well, I got some scripture. I want to wrap up the program here in just a moment. I want to share a couple things from scripture, and then we're going to pray. I just wanted to come in here and change the direction today and focus on a very positive message for marriage. If you know anything about me, I'm about solving problems and moving ahead. What is it that God's intention is for you and for your marriage today? What does the scripture teach on making your marriage what God intends? I want to share a few verses, and we'll pray and wrap this up here in just a minute or two.
Why do you love your marriage?
Because we're best friends and partners.
Yeah, because he is my best friend. I've never been with someone that I could trust that much and talk to about anything and have fun with. He's fun every morning.
She's my best friend. That's why I love my marriage.
He's always there for me, and he loves me in spite of myself.
It's a good relationship.
Because it's been extremely difficult and the most joyous through 20 years.
And he loves me unconditionally.
Well, And those are all good things that could add to the list right there as we've been listening to this today. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. We see that in Genesis. That's in Genesis, what, 2:24, 2:25? It's a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. And Paul goes on in Ephesians, he talks about husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So guys, we have a responsibility and opportunity to love our wives and do so in a way that honors Christ. To have the kind of leadership. Doesn't mean you have to be the super leader, have an MBA in leadership in marriage. But let's face it, leadership is needed. Also says that in the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives, treat your wife with understanding as you live together, 1 Peter chapter 3. And wives to reverence and respect your husbands. There's a flow, there's a pattern that God put in place from the very beginning of how marriage is to work. And our encouragement in intentional living is for each of us to be very intentional in doing that. And when we do, we're honoring Christ. That's living intentionally.
Mary, what do you love about your marriage?
I love having someone to talk to and to do things with.
The beautiful woman that I married, that I can come to her with any problem I have, and she will help me through it.
Anything else you love about your marriage?
She gives me money.
There's an honest soul, right? Hey, listen, we're going to wrap this up today. Upcoming programs, by the way, we're talking to singles. We'll be focusing on that. What was the other one? We have another topic coming up. Passive, when the person you love is passive-aggressive in your life. How do you handle that? Upcoming programs. Lord, today we just wanted to stop here for this half hour and give you honor and glory for who you are and for the beautiful picture of marriage that you present in Scripture. Thank you for the opportunity to stand firm today on making our marriages work in a way that honors you. I pray for the leaders of this country. I pray for pastors in this country. I pray for each of us that we would find an opportunity to love people, even people we disagree with. We love them. We love them because you loved us and you love them. And thank you for the opportunity to share this message of hope and intentionality today from the Intentional Living Center. In Christ's name, amen. I'm Randy Carlson. Love you guys, all of you. Thank you for listening. No matter where you are or where you come down on this issue, we love you in Jesus' name. And we'll see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.